Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to a Super Bloom podcast. I'm your host, Candace King. You know what my favorite thing on a beautiful fall day is? Sitting on a couch or in a cozy chair or bed and having a giant stack of books just sitting there staring at you, right next to you, being like, hey, good friend, just snuggle up. Let's hang out for a while. You know, maybe you got a cup of coffee or a tea or a glass of wine. There is just nothing better than actually giving yourself, or I'll speak for myself, there's nothing better when I give myself permission to sit down and enjoy a really good book. And that is another reason why I love podcasting, because it gives me an excuse to sit down and talk with authors and writers and like all these wonderful people where I can just like daydream about being one of them, because it also sounds really romantic to me to just sit down and be writing a wonderful book. And that's what we're going to talk about today with Jenny Mustard. And Jenny Mustard's life just looks like one big romance novel. If you don't follow her on TikTok or follow her YouTube videos, I mean, just one word, aesthetic. You know when you just like watch like a TikTok or watch a YouTube or like look at someone's Instagram and you're like, oh, I wish I could just like climb into this little video or this photo and just curl up and just imagine myself in that life, and it looks like this like little storybook house, and you're like, ah, it just calms you. It like calms your nervous system looking at this lifestyle aesthetic that they've come up with. That's kind of what it's like to check out Jenny Mustard's social media. And you know what? A conversation with her isn't that much different. So if you don't know Jenny Mustard, she was born in Sweden, but she currently lives in London. You may know her as a social media influencer. I mean, she has over 600,000 followers and 50 million views on YouTube. She hosts a pop culture podcast with her partner, David. And today we're going to be talking about her debut novel, OK Days, and her journey and experience in writing it. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Jenny Mustard.
Yes, it'd be at nighttime in London right now, but I also was surprised you used the American or the English way instead of the typical where everyone else in the world uses, what is it, military time? It's not military time. That's just what we call it in the States.
Military but like, time.
Or like if they're like, oh, it's 14 o'clock. Yeah, 18, like I don't know if it's called 14 o'clock.
In Sweden, where I'm from, we use the military. I've never heard the expression before, but yeah, we use that one. So here it's just 4 p.m., 6 p.m. What time is it with you, by the way?
It is 2:30 in the afternoon.
All right.
So it's like a nice fall day here in Tennessee. I live in Nashville. I've been here for a couple of years. And you moved to London from Sweden. How long have you been in London now?
All in all, it's coming up on 9 years. But I had like a break in the middle. But like, I moved back to Sweden for 2 years. Then I did Berlin for 3 years. And then I came back to London again. So I think I came back almost 5 years ago now. Yeah.
Was there a very big, I also just like love like Swedish and Scandinavian style. And so I've followed a lot of fashion blogs over the years, but was influencing big in the town that you grew up in? I feel like, were you in, I know you lived in Stockholm at a certain point, but like,
yeah.
Was there like a very big kind of rush of influencing and influencers at the time? Or was everyone like, what are you doing on your phone all the time?
Well, I actually started as an influencer after I came to London the first time. So when I moved back to Sweden for just 2 years, my partner and I, we just moved out to like lived in our family summer houses, just jumped around to be able to like basically grow a business without having to pay rent. So I was just out in the countryside. I didn't see much of like the influencer scene in Stockholm at all. I was doing quite a lot of like food content at the time. So I did meet some like really lovely like vegan food creators and like chefs and stuff like that. But I didn't like really meet any of the fashionistas. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's totally fine.
Do you have a favorite?
I mean, these days at this point, I've now since had children. And so it's really just like focusing on, I mean, Baby Gap, maybe that's like where I end up most fashion. You know, I'm just such a trendy person in the kids department. I really don't have oftentimes time for myself. For you, when you moved to London, I know that you and your partner decided to kind of just do something new. You guys were very young when you moved there together in your early 20s. And what was kind of like the first, what got you into creating all this wonderful content? I mean, you've created such a community online. And I think that that's really incredible. It's not, even though I have a community of people who follow me online, it is very much because I played a character on a TV show and they've kind of been, you know, maybe that's usually a reason why someone pays attention to anything that I would post or create online. So I'm always fascinated by anyone who's able to share a bit of themselves. And that is what kind of attracts and brings about a lot of people wanting to know more about them. So what was kind of the first thing that you started to post about that you realized was more curated as opposed to just for the sake of sharing something with your friends and family?
Actually, like we started out with, I decided to start like a vintage clothing site where I would sell clothes online. So I would just model, like buy vintage stuff, model it, and then my partner David would take photos and then we just started a website. So it started just like as a site. And then like we had lots of customers who's like, who is that girl? What's her name? Is she on Instagram? So they kind of requested me to start on Instagram. So that's how I sort of, you know, became an Instagrammer. And then, you know, we used social media for the website at first. But then my partner, he studied film and TV production. And he was like, I think we should start doing YouTube. And back then we didn't even know like that such a thing as a YouTuber even existed. Like we just thought that people put stuff on YouTube to then put on their site or on their Facebook or, you know, other pages. So yeah, we just had fun with it, did some like vegan cooking videos, and then we just saw that it kind of took off. So from there, I just basically, whenever I find like a new hobby or something that interests me, I just kind of steer my channels towards that. And I just think that like, I can't keep talking about the same thing over and over. So I just go with my gut, even though, you know, someone who started following me for vegan YouTube videos would probably maybe not be so interested in, you know, fashion or interior design or something else that I post about. But I don't know. I think I just have to keep it fresh, I guess. So yeah. I tend to just go where my hobbies take me.
And that's what's so incredible, I think, about, you know, our generation and the ability to build your own business, establish your own brand, and also kind of create from home, create with partners, create with friends, people around you, and not be beholden to kind of more a traditional sense of kind of following someone else's path and creating your own. What did you want? I mean, I'm so excited to talk about your book and also, you know, obviously OK Days and kind of how that came to be. But did you always want to write? Were you writing a lot as a kid? I know you post all the time about all the books that you read, and that is very much a curated part of not only your life, but the content that you produce for everyone.
You know, Candice, I think I'm like, I see myself as a reader first. Like, I've always been a huge reader. And I just think that, I guess, like, for me, storytelling is just all one and the same. Like, no matter if it's like a photo or like a video or text, I just kind of see all storytelling as being, you know, the different disciplines of the same thing. So I've always known that I wanted to be a creative person, like work creatively if possible. But writing a novel, that's like come and gone a little bit. Like, I've been having some periods where I've been writing a lot and focusing on it and finding it really fun. And then because of my influencer job, I've been having like a big creative outlet there, and sometimes felt that, you know, that's creative enough. That's like enough creative outlet for me to be sort of satisfied. So it has come and gone in waves, but reading is like always my kind of form of meditation, if that makes sense. So I'm always a reader. And then, you know, after I've been doing YouTube for so long and started taking writing more seriously, I feel like that's kind of where I belong. That's kind of like my best discipline. Like, that's where my brain sort of works best.
Are you, what is your favorite type of novel? What is your favorite type of book that you gravitate towards? Obviously, I would assume romance, but maybe that might not be true just because it is part of what you wrote. But is there like a specific genre that you love?
I actually don't read any romance at all. Like, really? I know that I've written like a love story, but you know, I'm not sure if you in the US have this distinction between like literary fiction and commercial fiction. Like, in Sweden, we don't make that distinction. But here, like, it seems to be quite a divide. Like, if you belong to the commercial sphere or the literary sphere, do you have those? Like,
no, what would be not? I don't think so. What would be the difference?
Literary fiction is more like maybe experimental, or like with a lot of focus on the prose, on like a sentence level. It might deal with some like quite heavy or difficult theme, so it might be, you know, trying to do something new, whereas commercial fiction is more like thrillers or romance or like feel-good novels that more sort of will reach like a wider audience, basically. So I think, like, for me, like, I'm trying to learn like the British lingo around all this, and I'm myself, when I'm reading, I gravitate more or less only towards literary fiction. I'm reading because of sentences. Like, I love a good sentence and like a good paragraph. So I don't really care that much about like plot and characters and all that. I'm just here for language. So that's why, like, I don't really read a lot of romance. I read love stories, but, you know, not kind of the more mainstream, more traditional romance, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really well versed in that genre. So I kind of see my own writing as a sort of, like, my debut novel as a sort of literary love story. So it kind of bridges the gap between, I guess.
What is, like, when you do read, when you do read a good sentence, like, what is something that you look for? Like, I know what you mean. Like, one author that I love is Tom Robbins, and that's kind of how I feel. Like, when I read his novel, Still Life with Woodpecker, and just the way that he writes in all of his novels, it's very, I don't know how, this might sound really weird to say, but it's almost, I want to speak it out loud. I like the way that he puts like consonants together and like the way that the words kind of dance in your mouth as you say the sentiment out loud is just something that I really enjoy. And so I will pick up his book and like definitely always read it when I'm alone in a room, because I want to, I have to like say the sentence out loud
that.
To feel how it
is that,
feels.
Is that the actress of you, do you think, that comes out, that you want to like act it out?
I know. I don't know. And it's not for every book. You know, it's definitely not for any book that I read. But I thought about that because I even, you know, I have friends that I've been lucky who are fantastic, incredible, talented screenwriters, and, you know, who I'm just so grateful to not only call them friends, but I've been grateful enough to, you know, work with them and carry out and perform the words that they've written. And it's very fun. I could, on the show that I worked on, I could almost tell sometimes when people that I knew very well would write specific, you know, whether it's like a longer said statement or a bit of a monologue, I could always tell because there was a specific rhythm to the way that they wrote. And it would just kind of sit right in the pocket. Like, I'm by no means a drummer. I don't know if I can really stay on the beat of all music, but there's certain ways and there's a certain cadence to the way that some people write that just feels so good. And so that might be, but even hearing you speak on the way of like the structure of a sentence and how you can get lost in the, like a singular sentence can be enough of a story for you in the way that it's written as opposed to an entire novel. Like I really love that. And I get what you mean when you say that.
It's really interesting what you said about rhythm, because I actually like see myself as a sort of rhythm writer. I've never heard anyone talk about this before a lot. I feel like it's not very discussed. What you just said about like the cadence or like the intonation, or, you know, I always find when I'm reading my own work back to myself, the part that I'm always most happy with, most pleased with, is when I end the paragraph on like the correct beat, where I feel like the beat is just like satisfying. I don't really care about the words or what I'm saying. I can care much more about the rhythm and like how the paragraph will end, like how it just feels like, I nailed it. It just sat on the right beat. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. 100%.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you write, do you write in Swedish? That might be a really dumb question, but do you write in English or do you write in your native language?
It's not a dumb question at all. And actually, you're the first person who've asked me this. I always write in English and I always have. Like, I started reading in English when I was maybe 15 or 16. And because I wanted to learn, like, you know, the English vocabulary or dictionary is so much bigger than the Swedish one. So it's like, I think there are like 10 times as many English words as Swedish words. So it's a much bigger language to learn. Yeah. So I really wanted to read in English to like learn as much as possible. And I've always like, all my creative work has always been in English and, you know, as an influencer as well.
But I also think that that's very interesting that you write in English. It's funny. When I was a child, both of my parents worked full time, which included my father is a doctor, so he was gone a lot. And then my mother was working as a structural engineer, as an environmental engineer. And so she was actually traveling a lot as well. So they hired an au pair who happened to be from Sweden. And she's still very close with my mother. And I just, but she's like, I don't remember any of the Swedish that she did teach me, but she was so wonderful. And I I just think of like the pop culture things that she brought, you know, to my knowledge at the time, which was back in the 90s, which would have been Ace of Base. I knew about Ace of Base before anyone else. I felt very cool. But also just that she spoke English very well. And I always forget that there's like so many, like just traveling throughout that area, that it's not uncommon to obviously know English, but that's very interesting that you've leaned into creatively writing English. And I didn't know that there was just less words in the Swedish language, which also makes me think that's so interesting that you can fall in love with a sentence and like, because usually a sentence like that would require like extra thought and care and understanding of the words that you put in. As you were learning English, do you have a favorite word? That also might be a very silly question.
I find that I like words that's like are always my favorites are kind of words about like tricksy women, you know, like being capricious or tumultuous or I don't know, like basically words that are about women being like storms. Are basically like, I don't know, there's something about like a beautiful word talking about a wild woman that just feels like it vibrates like right with me. What about you? Do you have a favorite?
I don't at the top of my head. I mean, man, it's hard for any words to really stick in my brain at this point. I have, and it's all, I feel like I use mom brain as such an excuse, but I think it has been studied that like you don't really get a full night's rest anymore until you're like 5 years in. And so my youngest, I think, is almost 3. So I have a couple more years to go before I can't use that excuse anymore. Like I can't say, use the excuse that like, you know, about my clothes anymore and be like, well, you know, I just had a baby. It's like, no, I can't use that anymore, but at least I can like still be like, oh, it's their fault that my brain's not working and I can't remember anything.
So I don't have an excuse though. I need one of those.
No, you had plenty of beautiful words. But I also, what I would love to hear more about kind of the creation of like your, like within the feminine character within this story. Because I also read an article that you wrote recently about just, you know, being a woman and this idea of like, especially the way that society views women of like childbearing years, whether or not like, you know, just the shock and awe of like the idea that someone might not want to have children. And so I definitely want to get to that because I think it ties into everything that you're talking about, these like spirited kind of precocious women and that just, you know, aren't necessarily, you know, that dance to their own rhythm and speak in their own rhythm. So what, when you are writing a heroine and a kind of like a central female, like what was that like for you? Like what did you, was it really based loosely on kind of your own spirit, or is there like specific women in your life that you drew upon?
Well, I mean, since I have like two main characters and they're both narrators, I feel like I like there's a bit of me in both of them. I wouldn't say that one of them is more similar to me than the other. Definitely when it comes to the female narrator, Sam, she is more wild than I am, more capricious and tumultuous and all that than I am. But she has some like similar experiences that I do. Like she's Swedish, she lives in London, she's happily child-free. But I would say that it's not based on me or anyone I know. She's very, like very much a fiction character. I do definitely like her, but I don't like her as like a version of myself. I don't see myself in her that much because I feel like, you know, I want to do this for a long time. I want to write so many books. I can't write about myself all the time. And like after being a YouTuber for I don't even know how many years, I'm just kind of tired of like talking about myself. It was really like freeing to come up with these characters and let them talk and like let them have experiences and opinions and just flaws. Like, you know, really flaunting their flaws was so liberating to me because, you know, it's not me and, you know, their bad decisions says nothing about me. Like I don't have to defend them or whatever. So I could like really get into like the messy nature of a contemporary love story and like let them be messy and flawed without, you know, having to take responsibility for them. So I definitely didn't use myself or anyone I know that much when it came to Sammy. She just came kind of fully formed of her own.
When you're watching a love story or reading a love story, are you someone who loves like that flash in the pan, that firework, like that immediate can't sleep, can't eat, you know, they must be with each other to the point where they might devour one another and ruin each other because they're just so obsessed with each other? Or do you kind of gravitate more towards that like slow burn where, you know, it's almost as if their love story is on a dimmer and it just slowly gets brighter and lighter and more clear over time?
I love it all. Like, I've come to realize that I'm quite a romantic. I didn't think that I was because I'm not a very sentimental person, but it turns out I'm quite romantic. Like, I love all types of love stories, like not just romantic ones either. I feel like, you know, the world is quite harsh. Like, there's so many horrible things going on that what I really want to watch and read myself, or write for that matter, is just like quite beautiful human relationships. Like, you know, flawed and messy, but definitely that has a sort of at least a will to make it work and like trying to be a good person for your other person. So, I mean, sizzling love stories, yes. Slow burns, yes. Like in my book, it's definitely all good. What about you? Do you have a favorite one to act? Like the slow burn or the sizzling one?
I mean, not necessarily to act. I think it's more just what I enjoy watching in a story. I think it's the kind of a delayed realization. I you know, I don't trust when two people just, when that's it. They just see each other and immediately know. Like when I don't understand it. It confuses me. When I see it in a story, I'm like, oh, this is just going to be explosive and this constant push and pull. And it's just exhausting. And I think that there was a younger version of me that thought that that's beautiful and exciting and sexy and enticing and that that's just how it happens, that you just know that, like, you know, and so often people just kind of describe that. And so, and I think as I've gotten older and heard more love stories or seen more kind of love stories played out, and whether it be art or in novels or even just, you know, hearing and meeting strangers in their stories, it's one of my favorite, you know, dinner table conversations, is to ask a couple that I don't know, like, how did you guys meet? And it's always, I love watching a couple tell each other or tell other people how they met and how they...
Especially if they've been together for so long that they like have it almost acted out, who says what, and they know exactly like how to best tell the story. So you can see that it's like, it's been practiced over years, like how to tell the story. I love that.
I do too. And you know, the romance, I think like, the most romantic part about a relationship is not like necessarily the beginning, you know, that's always going to be the romantic part. You know, it's later on when you really see each other for who the other person is and you're still able to admire them and, you know, and like them. I think the love part can be easier than the like part. And like, that's like a whole deeper,
that's true,
deeper appreciation, you know.
And I also think, like, you know, if it's going to be a long-term relationship, you have to, like, choose each other over and over. You can't just choose each other once and then expect 5 years or 10 years or 30 years later to feel the same way about each other. So every time you reach one of those, like, clinch points where you have to, like, choose each other again, it's so romantic. And, like, I find those, like, clinch points where you can choose if you want to, like, part or if you want to choose each other again. I think that's probably my most romantic thing to write about or read about or watch or whatever.
How long have you and your partner been together?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot
now. I know.
How long is it? I think it's 17 years.
17?
I think wow. So. If I'm wrong now, David is going to be really upset. But because he's the person who definitely knows. But yeah, I think it's 17 years. It's quite a long time. We're not married yet. We will be at one point. But, you know, we have so much work to do. When will you have time to get married? I don't know how people do it.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I also think it's incredible that you worked together as well, which you don't often, like, for 17 years to have a creative relationship as well as a romantic one. So many people aren't able to do that. So I know this is a personal question. You definitely don't have to answer it. But why, like, what feels good about that? Like, what have you noticed within each other that maybe, you know, feels different than hearing other people talk about working with their spouse where it doesn't go very well, or their partner and it doesn't go well? Because I what an incredible experience that would be to be able to, you know, share in that kind of creative perspective and challenge each other and question each other. But then also, like, that's such a beautiful, yummy part in any working relationship. So I can't imagine having that with your romantic partner as well. Like, that's a whole other level of vulnerability.
I mean, it really is. I think you put that so beautifully. I think that there's two sides to it. It's like the romantic, like, amazing side to it, where you just feel like you are the closest person to you also gets you in a creative way. Where, like, we definitely push each other, and, like, I wouldn't have this job without him, and he wouldn't either. Like, it feels safe to do it together. You're not doing it by yourself. I'm so impressed with anyone who has a creative job by themselves. So I think, like, you know, David is my first reader. Whenever I write something, he reads it first. And the reason for that is because he is my cheerleader. Like, he would just give me, he would just be like confidence boosting me. Like, there's no critique. So it doesn't really help the text, but it helps me and my confidence. So that, like, and also he has, like, great ideas. If I get stuck, I just talk it out with him, and then he will tell me, like, what about the scene? Can we work on this? So I get, like, a lot of, like, creative help from him as well. And then the other side of it, where I guess, like, a lot of people, other couples maybe feel like it wouldn't be a great fit for them to work together. And that's, like, you know, it's stressful. Like, having a business is stressful. We have two businesses together. It's really stressful. And, you know, when we're stressed, we're going to take it out on each other. So we will bicker, or, you know, it's definitely not always, like, romantic and, you know, making out in between, you know, taking photos or whatever. It can be that, but, you know, it's often like, let's get this done quickly and, you know, have lunch and then rush off to the next thing. So I think, like, probably there are two different types of relationships, those who feel like they grow from it and become closer, and those who are just, like, at each other's throat all the time because of it. So I don't know. I just feel like we work, like, a third of our life or whatever, maybe a quarter of our life. And that's too much, too many hours for me not to spend with him, like, in a life. I just want to spend as many hours with him as I can. It would just feel like a waste to be away from each other during the day.
I really love that. That's beautiful. You mentioned a few elements that paralleled your own life that are within your character in the story, or in your novel, that, you know, from Sweden to London and certain things like that. You mentioned also that David would always be the first reader of all of your work. Is there any part of him that's in your story, or part of you both that are in your story, that only you guys would know or see?
Yes, I would say, like, of course, you know, I am a person, so stuff from my brain, like everything comes from my brain anyway, and almost all of it is completely made up, but some moods or like some settings and or some like words might be from, you know, I'm sounding really cheesy now. I realize that I'm sounding really cheesy now, but
I love like, cheese. Yeah, I love like, all kinds of cheese. Emotional cheese, hard cheeses, okay, soft cheeses, you know.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, I think like the best parts of both Sam and Luke, the two main characters, the best parts of them are like from David, and the messiest, worst parts from them are definitely more from me.
I have a feeling that he would have something else to say towards that, but that's a very beautiful romantic sentiment.
You never know. We might actually
Well, I really want to talk about your article in The Guardian as well, because I think that you're broaching a subject matter that you've also spoke about on your social media, as well as your YouTube platform, your YouTube channel, it's just such a fresh breath of air. And whenever women like specifically talk about the fact that they don't have interest in having children, I just think it is powerful and important for others to hear that. I have friends of mine in my life who just clearly are just as much as I knew when I was, I've known for a very long time that I always wanted to be a mother. I knew it in my bones. I wanted children. And then I have friends that knew it from a very young age that they're like, I don't want to be a mother. I don't want to have children. And there is nothing wrong with that. And you have like, I don't know if David did read, you know, your piece before it was published, but I just thought that this was such a beautiful thing that you wrote at the end, speaking to him. And also because so many people say that women are going to change. Oh, you'll change your mind. This is just a phase of not wanting to have children. But you were talking in your article, in your essay about trusting, you know, David as well, and in respecting like his ideas of whether or not he wants to have children. And you said, trust that he can make his own decision, guard his own happiness. Respect him enough to not treat him like a hysterical, irrational woman who doesn't know her own mind by telling him, you know, you might change your mind when you get older. But just making space in your relationship for both of you to have feelings and explore them of whether or not you want to have children, as opposed to just you both have to have this idea, or that you have to kind of fall in line with like a society's idea, and leaving room for him as well, because it's so often put on the woman. But what has kind of encouraged you to speak more on and write this essay, and as well as on your different channels, about the fact that at this point in your life you are child free and happy and proud of that and self-accepting of that?
To me, it's like second nature. Like I never really questioned it. I always knew that I just didn't want to have children ever since I was like 10 or 11. And, you know, I would definitely hear from more or less everyone that I would change my mind and, you know, I'm too young to know, and the biological clock, whatever that is. I've never felt it. I'm sure a lot of people have, but mine is faulty. Like it doesn't tick at all. So I think like since my channels on social media are all about just me talking about whatever interests me, I think it became quite obvious for me to share this part of my life as well, because I feel like basically at the time when I started talking about it, I never saw anyone else talk about it. I know now that it's become like a much bigger like topic in media to talk about. But I find that like usually when media portrays child-free women, or there's a child-free woman in, you know, in TV or film or in books, it's always like there has to be like a reason why she's child-free. There has to be like some trauma mm-hmm. in her background, or, you know, some medical issues, like some deep reason to why this woman doesn't want to have children.
Or even like a question of her femininity, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, maybe she's just like too, you know, a careerist who's too ambitious or cold, you know, that type, like the villain in the movie.
Yep.
I would have found it really lovely when I was much younger and people were questioning it a lot more if I had seen some representation of women who are just like happy to be child-free. There's no reason. I don't have any trauma or, you know, I don't know if I have any medical issues having children because I've never tried, obviously, but... as far as I know, I'm capable to have children if I want to. So I feel like us, like happily child-free women, are so underrepresented. And I won't change my mind. Like, of course, you never know, but it's going to be too late soon anyway. So I've never, you know, felt a single time in my life that I might change my mind. So I'm pretty sure that it's not a phase. I'm pretty sure that it's just basically me as a person who's just, you know, child-free from birth. Like, I never once thought that I might be a mother. And I have no idea why that is. Like, if it's, you know, genetic or social or whatever. It's just me. It's just who I am. And I'm really comfortable talking about it. Obviously, I do get a lot of hate whenever I do talk about
it. Which is insane.
You know, yeah. But there's just so many men out there who really seem to have a problem with women deciding about their own bodies. I don't know why that is, why they care so much, but they really seem to care.
Oh, Jenny, living in Tennessee, I can tell you that is very accurate here. Very involved. All up in my uterus when I don't understand why. Don't understand why.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But I really appreciated your essay because, again, it makes complete sense to me why anyone would decide that they are not interested in having children, just like it makes complete sense to me why I wanted to. And it's just always blown my mind why. And it's always the female that gets villainized for it. And so your article was just so beautiful and pleasant and warm and maternal in talking about not wanting to become a mother. It was just really wonderful. So I just appreciated that as a reader of it.
Thank you. And you know, it's weird because ever since I started talking about it, like whenever I make a video about it for YouTube or write an essay or something, that just the response is always huge from like all over the world, women saying that they have felt this way and never been able to express it or, you know, be proud of it because there's so much pressure on them to just be normal and have children and like give your parents grandchildren. That's a big one. Like there's almost like a guilt factor to choosing your own lifestyle. And I don't know. I just think that the more we talk about it, obviously it gets better and better. And I think already just in the last couple of years, it seems like society is catching up a lot more. I'm not sure, like now you just told me that men are up in your uterus over there. So I'm not sure if this is true, but I feel like definitely here anyway, in London, it seems to be like getting better.
Well, that's refreshing to hear. Jenny, I am so excited for you to continue have you already been working on another novel?
Yes, I actually just sent a first draft to my agent last week. So it's been a week of champagne and nerves for me over here.
Well, the champagne is definitely for OK Days, which everyone can get now. Congratulations on your debut novel.
Thank you so much.
And I'm truly so excited to continue watching your career as a writer and an author. Before I let you go, Jenny, I just want to ask you 5 last questions. It's a little conversation cool down I like to do with all of my guests. So if you could just kind of the first word, maybe a favorite word or favorite or just like quick sentence, you know, a beautiful architected sentence about just the first thing that comes to mind. I'm going to ask you a few questions. So if you could just tell us, Jenny, what is something that you like?
Oh, I like drinking champagne while reading a book, listening to jazz.
I mean, that sounds amazing. I might have to like that too. That might have to be my new thing. Okay, what is something that you know?
I know that home is not a geographical place. It is usually a person or people.
What is something that you hate?
I hate violence and conflict, probably most of all.
What is something that you love that is not a friend or partner or family?
London. Can I say London?
Yes, of course.
It's almost like a partner at this point, the city.
And last but not least, Jenny, what is a quirky little fact about you?
Oh, so I'm extremely messy eater. Like I'm not just a messy eater, I'm messy in general. Like my hand, like hand to mouth coordination is not working really well. So I spill stuff. Like I have white shirts, but I really shouldn't have white shirts because there is marinara all over all of them.
I mean, I would have never guessed with your minimalism lifestyle and beautiful, like neutral palettes of clothing that you are showcasing on your social media. But I'm going to be looking out for marinara stains from now on, as well as...
I have many products. I have so many different sprays for this stuff. Like, I mean, I guess you do too. Like you have children. So that's another excuse. Like you actually have an excuse to have messy clothes.
Yes.
I don't. I just have them.
I know that is the one perk. If you ever decide, you know, in the event that like you're like, well, I have kids for them to just like have the excuse to be messy all the time and like forget things. That is very helpful.
It is a perk.
It is a perk. Well, Jenny, thank you so much. Congratulations again. And I cannot wait to read your next book and continue to watch your career grow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
A Super Bloom podcast is hosted by me, Candace King, produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond Imprint Productions, edited by Diane Kang, post-production sound by Coco Lawrence, and advertising partnership with Acast.